Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to Kush and Kai. I'm Kai.
I'm Kush. What's good, y'all?
Ah, doing good. Just like I had threatened on a minisode ages ago. We've got Heike Gruner, goddamn, in studio. How are you, sir?
I am good.
Introduce yourself again.
My name is Heike Gruner. Mm-hmm. I am a singer slash...
Where can we hear you sing?
At Martuni's.
Oh.
Martuni's, where is that? That's in San Francisco?
That is a San Francisco piano bar, famous, recently written up in the Chronicle.
Oh, yeah.
Outstanding.
Give the listeners, can you just a touch, because I know my Grams is up there listening. Could you give us just a touch
of Moon River? Moon River, wider than a mile. I'm crossing you in style one day.
She did.
And
she did. Yeah, she's on the other side. That's good stuff. That's great. You're crying. I'm not crying.
That's great.
Good stuff, dude. You saw what movie?
I saw Westworld.
1973's...
The original.
My goodness.
Yul Brynner.
James Brolin.
James Brolin. Thanos' dad.
Thanos' dad is there.
The first not-for-TV movie that Michael Crichton directed.
Mm.
Wow.
Yes.
He wrote this specifically for the small screen, and he directed it. Mm-hmm. He went full bore on this one.
Michael Crichton, everyone knows, did Sphere and Jurassic Park.
Great Train Robbery.
Great Train Robbery.
Wow, he did that one too.
Rising Sun?
Rising Sun.
Congo.
We need to do Rising Sun.
We should do Rising Sun and Congo.
I love Rising Sun.
Everybody get ready for a mega block of Crichton, because all of these movies, even if you don't love them, or even without the way, they're entertaining, I have to say.
What's the one you did about the biohazard?
Outbreak? Andromeda Strain?
Yeah, Andromeda
there
Strain.
There we go.
Okay, all we got that out of our system.
Big, science-y, compelling things.
Yeah.
And this movie, how would you characterize this movie? I'm just jumping in.
Sci-fi horror.
Exactly.
Sci-fi horror, yeah.
At the time, so this came out in 73, and I was pleasantly surprised how... Because we've watched some movies that have grown a little long in the tooth, and a common thing, especially from like the 70s, some eras will claim
a lot of experimentation in the 70s and that worked or didn't work.
And especially with pacing.
Yes.
Now, I have to say, this had a longer cut originally.
A longer cut, undetermined how long it was, but there was definitely a lot more footage in it. And then we're talking about stuff where there's lots of me stalling because I can't find it.
Well, I mean, the theme, I think we were chatting about this earlier, that I just had to say, like, it felt, you know, kind of abbreviated. It's under 90 minutes as a film.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little short. And I was like, is there a longer one? Is there a director's cut? But Kush had unearthed that had elaborated on.
So there's deleted scenes about the bank robbery that we hear references to, a sales room sequence where they do more about selling, more about the hovercraft, you know, a lot more character.
Oh, they mentioned the hovercraft. They didn't pay that off.
Yeah, there's like a graphic that says hovercraft in process, but at no point are you like, oh, well, you think it's some strange plane at the beginning.
See, I'm going to put a sign in one of my movies that says blowjob teleportation machine. People are like, what? What? Yeah. I don't have to show it.
Deleted scene.
Michael Crichton. Mm-hmm. That's what he taught me.
Didn't make the cut.
Just have
a
flashing sign that says it.
Yeah.
It's a little short.
Now, let's forget about what's not in this. Are both of you familiar with the HBO show?
Yes.
Yeah.
You seen it or you just seen it?
I saw the whole... I'm ready for season two. I'm ready for
it. I saw it and loved it. I would put it up there with some...
Safe to say that's better than this, but this is still fun.
I thought about this while I was watching this. I really wished I hadn't seen the HBO one first.
Yeah.
I wish I had watched this with a completely fresh slate.
That's definitely a lot more sophisticated.
Yeah.
They really take the philosophy and go head first with the philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because that I agree. The HBO one to me strikes me as an examination of consciousness and its derivatives and what you can qualify as.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And this does feel more like a disaster movie.
Well, I'm saying like this one, you can't help it, but. Help, like if you've seen the HBO one, you see the genesis of the philosophical like idea there, and then this movie does not run with it.
No,
it just ends with horror. And if you have the frame of reference of the like the deep exploration of Nietzschean you know, search for meaning. Hmm. There's a disappointment you'll inevitably have watching this one.
Yeah. I have to say, I'll give an early. I've been trying to put these more in at the top of the show, okay. But I'll put it in early. Like, guys, even if you've seen Westworld or not, I recommend this movie. This is some interesting things. Go back and see how it was done. They have to use some real creativity in lieu of effect shots. And they really try. I dig.
Like the effect shots. I like a lot of Yul Brynner's POV shots that we'll see later in years to come in The Terminator, which are a lot better, obviously, for reasons. But I like where they were going. I like the idea of it. I absolutely recommend this movie, too.
And also, too, they didn't have Amanda, what is her name?
Oh, that pretty lady.
Angela Serafian.
It would have been a lot better if they did.
I if we could send her back in time, just, I don't know where they found her.
I believe she's from Serbia.
She was fantastic. And she has, she
I'm
can
so hold, wrong about that.
She is can she hold, Serbian?
She can hold a dead-eye face. She has one of those scenes where the fly goes across her eyeball, and you're like, oh, my gosh. Let's see.
Because I was in Belgrade last year, and I
know she's not an American
born
citizen.
Born Yerevan, Armenia.
Armenian.
Right. While it was the USSR. Yeah. Good stuff. They did not have that technology.
GD beauty.
They tried their hearts out in this movie. To make
I was very impressed.
Big and technological and impressive.
Yeah. I mean, I think 1973 is a critical number there if you put yourself back at that time.
1973, that's Shaft, Deliverance. Yeah. It's a lot of experimental film. So this was definitely
Exorcist,
The Exorcist.
Paper Moon, American Graffiti. Yeah. I mean, there's not a High Plains Drifter. In terms of sci-fi, you know what
Lots
I mean? There's
good
not.
Didn't High Plains Drifter have a robot in it?
I don't think that was that one.
Yeah.
Wait, there was a... There's a Clint Eastwood movie where he's a robot. Oh, yeah, yeah. That was the sequel.
Really?
Oh, okay. That was the sequel.
Really?
Yeah.
Where is Clint Eastwood a robot?
In the sequel, High Plains Drifter 2, Robot Boogaloo. No, I don't know if that existed. In my mind, it does.
Oh, my God.
We're watching it now.
I'm so confused.
I would recommend it, this silly, weird movie. But I have to say, one thing remains true from both of these. Across time and space and clever creators... The human mind will always marvel at a zone where rape and murder are cool.
Right?
Yeah.
We can't, they're both that. And they both actually work because we're still like, yeah, all right, okay. Mm-hmm. Prostitute, shoot the guy.
To this movie's credit, rape is only implied. It's never...
Implied rape.
Implied rape, but never demonstrated, as we see in the show.
Okay. But we're not, I mean, there is like... Yes, clonk a jogger over the head with a pipe and drag into the bushes. Right. That's terrible. But at the same time where we get portly Malord, right? And he's making a pass at the robot, right? And then the scientist, forget what actually happened in the movie, but then the scientists are shocked that it's like, she's a sex model. She's supposed to be seduced.
How low
by
is
him.
That dude's self-esteem now? The sex bot turned him down.
I'm paying $1,000 a day.
She was literally programmed for one purpose.
To receive your smelly, wrinkled penis.
Yeah.
And you're too weird. And
that guy had the worst vacation of anyone.
Well, the worst money to value ratio. Yeah.
There was
a side. He was married, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's in the hovercraft. And he's sitting next to a woman.
Yeah.
And then
his wife goes to the Roman Roman world.
Okay.
And you can, you know, and they make a big point. And I really love that point because like that was the first moment.
But let's set that up.
Let's start at the beginning.
Let's set that up. Okay.
Yeah.
The first thing we see, news reporter standing at what looks like an airport terminal, people streaming by, there's a lot of glass, and he pulls an arm and is like, "Sue, sir, you, what did you do?" And I believe the first guy
I went to Westworld.
Yeah. I shot a guy.
Shot six guys.
That was the second dude, I think.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, guy. Oh, you're right.
So
you're
the first
right.
guy Sorry, was yeah. like, I shot someone. And he throws this in like, He was a robot, right?
He's totally a robot.
He had to be a robot. I knew he was a robot.
He doubted himself for a sec. He goes back, and he's like, cool, cool. But for just a sec, he's like, did that kill somebody? Which I love that they put right at the top. Yeah. They wanted to get you with a little like, am I committing crimes? Like, oh, yes, but no.
Yeah.
So he's worried. And then the second lady, I wrote her name down, Janet Lane.
Yeah,
she went to Robin World. What did she like?
She got fucked.
Hold on. What did she like, though? She says this. The men. She likes the men. I think this broad fucked a bunch of robots.
She fucked all the robots.
Mm-hmm.
Fucked all the robots.
But that was kind of like, this is where you go for that shit. Mm-hmm. She's into some girthy Roman robots just getting in there. And that's she's paying $1,000 a day for the privilege.
Yeah. God bless her.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't?
I tried to ask myself that. Like, yeah. And we worked it out. It's about, for inflation from 1973, it's about $4,500 today's.
Quiet shrug.
$4,500? $4,500,
That sounds about right.
$4,500.
Today's inflation, did you have, where's your reference on that guy? Just to ask, because I got a
it was number a currency. Here
four and a half times thingy. Higher?
No, currency thingy.
1973?
Yeah. Why, do you have a separate
thing? October 2016, the $1,000 would cost $24.23.
Oh, so even less.
Remember, this is IMDb, so that's my reference.
I got this off an exchange thing today.
I'm pretty sure that if you arrive in San Francisco without having a hotel booked and you're booking day of, that's probably what you'd pay.
She is willing to pay anything.
Oh, yeah.
This experience, and she was happy with it.
Her ultimate escapism led her to get gangbanged by a bunch of Roman robots.
That's what she paid for. She saw it in the brochure and was like, that is me. That will be my Valentine's Day.
God bless.
And then the third person, second dude that walks through, he says, I was the sheriff.
Yeah.
And clearly, he killed a bunch of robots, too.
He killed a bunch of robots.
And then the last one, Arthur Kane. He said he had 3 sword fights, 3 jousts.
Married a princess.
Yeah.
He went to medieval world,
which also, I think, kind of translates to killed some robots.
Killed a lot of robots.
And fucked a princess robot.
Definitely fucked a princess robot.
So can I
say that my heart is actually, like, just so like, happy for the fact that the thought that maybe she didn't see the brochure and she went to Roman World instead discovered this some burgeoning sexuality that she hadn't explored before.
Sexual awakening. It was the sexual revolution in the early 70s.
She went to medieval world to study like lute patterns from bards. And then she just spent over in Rome world. She has a little bit of wine. And it's Saturnalia. And it's just like, we're doing this.
Things got a little out of control one night.
Things definitely get out of control.
The attention of men was intense, but they were respectful and loving and tender.
Now, what's the name of the company that hosts all these parties?
Delos.
So the logo for Delos is the shape of the whole complex itself.
Yeah. And it's almost like a Google Chrome kind of a thing.
Ooh, good Kyle.
We'll put it up on the web. But it's like, there's some base colors and a green, and it's kind of swirly, and you're like, okay, yeah. That this could also, you could look at it another way, because remember in the Westworld that we've seen on HBO, they had shown like a previous version of the park where it was first starting out.
Mm-hmm.
You could kind of go with that this was the original version of the park.
Oh, I get, yeah. I think that's what they implied.
But the idea that this has all happened. They all freaked out before. Mm-hmm. I like even more. You know, like there was this cycle of like freak out and panic.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for both of them, we're probably going to get to this with the. I'm throwing it out there. No spoilers. I think for Westworld the series, we're going to get out. We're going to find out we're on Mars. I swear to God.
That would be cool.
We've terraformed Mars, and it's just this is part of it.
That would make sense for the series. The movie, however, only takes place 10 years after its release. So we're talking. This is the deep, deep future of
1983. They didn't reach robot. Also, too, that they reached not just. I mean, the AI and how they talk is impressive, mm-hmm. but a realistic robot vagina at that age. It's just the textiles and the I like. There's a lot to work out.
I mean,
there.
And this is 1973, the expectation is that men designed these robots, and you know
that's true.
Was there a man who really understood vaginas enough to recreate them?
Sure, there could be a cut. There are cut scenes. There could be like, oh, I mean, that was fun, but it's like fucking like a glove full of whistles. They just did didn't get
I mean,
that
who part hasn't right. been there?
They just get that part wrong, and you're like, No, but they're all very satisfied. Even the frumpy glasses guy wakes up one morning like, I'm next to a positive, and he's excited.
Oh my! So we're still on the hovercraft here, guys, and we've met the couple who's on vacation. One is going. Oh, keep laughing, Kai. It's good. I got you, buddy. Well, the man's going to medieval world. The woman's going to get gangbanged in Rome world.
Yep.
And then we meet these two dudes. One's name is John. One's is Peter.
John and Peter.
Yeah. John and Peter.
John and
Pete. And they're going to Westworld. And Pete's already been there. But this is John's first time.
John's been there. Pete hasn't been there.
Excuse me. Same situation, though. One's been there before. The other one hasn't. And he's... The one who hasn't been there, he's excited. He wants to go. He's like, "You think I should get a holster with a that goes around my
a
leg?"
Filled with questions.
Just all over. And the other guy's like,
first day of second grade. He's just everything.
Whatever you want. He keeps coming back to that answer. Whatever you want.
Yeah.
Your imagination is only your limit.
And
for me, it's like this is the there's a bunch of moments on that hovercraft that are beautiful for setting up the fundamental philosophical question of this movie, which is, can I do this stuff morally? Like, these are children being faced with eating as much ice cream as they want.
It's a quandary.
Yeah, and being given kind of a dubious, the guy coming out at the beginning and be like, I don't think I shot a person.
Exactly.
You know, there's a dubious explanation given to them for, no, it's totally okay.
Even
you can shoot whoever you want. And this is humanity's response to being faced with their own morality. Like, I can
do that.
I can do this.
You can do anything.
But the beautiful thing is the couple. He's like, it dawns on him. What that actually means.
Yeah.
My wife is going to fuck a bunch of robots.
Yeah.
He is not thrilled about that at all. He gives them his face on that one.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I hope they're all robots, he says. And I have to... The John, who is our guide for part of this, the beginning,
the experienced one, the
he's
one
showing
who's
us on.
This is old hat for him,
and there's some important exposition, like he explains how the guns won't fire if there's like it senses a warm blooded target.
It has a sensor, which is very sophisticated again for 1983.
Now, I have one thing to point out about
there's
this.
Still bullets in this gun.
I have one thing to point out about this though.
Break it down.
That means that the safety of the guns depends on body heat.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That means when you're ostensibly fucking the prostitute robots, they have no body heat?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
This dawned on me, too, at some point where,
We have a very specific kind of patron is looking for a specific experience at a specific temperature.
I don't mean to poke holes in the premise.
No, we got a bunch of
They're all necrophilia. It's zombie Westworld. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They left that off.
But this dead body actually moves and interacts, and we do see a quote-unquote love scene.
Wait a minute. What if...
I'm hearing you out.
The protocol starts, and we just heat up those sections.
Well, then your gun could go off, mistakenly.
But wait a minute. It's right in that zone. Why doesn't it shoot you in the crotch then? It's heating up, just a... One right in front of you.
I hold my gun when I'm lovemaking. I don't know about you guys.
Well, okay, I have far be it from me to question the design
then
of these engineers.
Shoot them in the vagina.
At least the lower side.
You're absolutely. I retract my analysis.
If I was in the meeting, I'm like, can't shoot them in the vagina. Great, we're gonna heat the bag.
Now you've taken out half the fun.
Yeah. Why did you do quote fingers when you said fun? There's something off about everyone in this room.
So John and Peter get to Westworld. First thing they do is outside of pick out their costumes, they go to the bar.
The costume pick scene is fairly... Without the stylized dressing room and the music, it's identical to the HBO one. They're all kind of like, yeah, cool, this is fun. They're kind of slipping on the skin of this other world they're going to join.
Yeah.
So real quick before we jump into our first clip, where they hit up the bar, you were saying that the choice of morality and they kind of make it murky. Even John, our point of like understanding in this world, he's pushing both sides of this, and he tries to do it nonchalantly in his kind of like aloof Brolin way.
Yeah.
But he goes from saying, like, come on, man, you gotta be into it. You gotta put yourself in this. And then he goes to, what? You didn't actually kill a guy. You know what I mean?
He flips
back and
forth.
Well,
I mean, I think it's the other window into the internal justification, into like the kind of cognitive dissonance of this thing. Mm-hmm. We see somebody who's dealt with this, and this is how he kind of came out of it and reconciled the two.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you shot a guy, but it wasn't really a guy, right? Mm-hmm. So, for me, like, that central question is the thing that gets laid out so perfectly at the beginning. And then the difference between this movie and the series is that the series then goes on and explores that. And this one just, you know, ends up in a standard horror scenario. But, yeah. But anyway, yeah.
And we'll get to that.
But anyway, so right.
There's
so
a chase that starts, yeah. Like, two-thirds into the movie, and we just coast all the way. Yeah. So, all right, we are going to go to, Hakey's topping us up with some rye here, which is very appropriate for this scene. Hold on. So they go to the bar. Of course, I mean, look, it is, you know, there are some basic things done by the director in this, but, like, I would be annoyed if we do not get our classic, we're headed to the saloon. You know
this
what
is
mean?
The first bar scene?
This is very early.
This is the entrance of Yul Brynner.
Yeah, this is the very first, very early. Yul Brynner, fucking A. Knocks that, nails this part.
Play the clip, Kai. Play the clip.
I am continually impressed with this movie with the acting of Yul Brynner. He did a good job. They got their money's worth. Yeah.
Stay out of the way. All right, here we go. All right, they're walking in. Old timey piano.
How many times did you forget that this wasn't Christian Bale, by the way?
It was hard. I was like, wow, right after me.
I'm going to be whiskey. What about you?
Vodka martini on the rocks with a twist of lemon. Very dry, please.
Good choice.
The robot bartender looks confused.
Almost flew straight up. And James,
you
got to
get
Bale.
The feel of it.
Although I would say that...
silly.
Why? If I had paid $1,000 a day, I'd want a
martini. You want a martini? You want a martini? I guess. But
he looked a little Scott Bakula right there.
Too. Best amusement park in the world.
James Brolin is a shapeshifter.
He is. He's gonna open it. Oh, look at these dancers.
Some pretty rough looking customers here.
By the way, the only way to tell who's a human and who's a robot is the hands.
Something about the hands.
For some reason, they haven't perfected hands.
Yeah, they could get eyes and minute expressions of emotion in facial muscles.
They figured out a woman's vagina.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. But hands eluded them.
They got the heat-sensing gun by the hands.
Yeah.
Okay, so here, they're pouring the whiskey. Pete ordered a
vodka. No way to get hurt here.
Martini.
Just enjoy yourself.
No way to get hurt.
Hey, he's hitting the whiskey. Cheers, everybody.
Cheers.
Cheers. And Pete is dying.
What is this stuff?
What is this stuff?
This is Everclear aged in oak barrels.
Gasoline and Lego math.
Literally looks like a hobo's bathwater.
Yeah. And that's all they have. They just have this. Ugh.
Oh, Yul Brynner shoulder bumps
him. Shouldered him. Spilled his drink.
This is a great scene because I don't care. I'm terrified.
Now I'm looking at his hands. I wouldn't question those hands.
Maybe there's like a giant in the middle or something.
Slap it with your drink.
Ooh, slap it with your drink. He's taunting him after he shoved him.
King of Siam is talking shit.
Black Hat showed up and he thinks you're a pussy. Et cetera, et cetera.
Give this boy a bib.
Yeah.
That tiny head is great.
Christian Bale's like, do it. Do it.
No, he's...
Do it.
And then he has to actually whisper to him.
He needs his mama.
He needs his mama.
Kill him.
Kill him!
He's whispering.
Yeah. Kill him. Yeah, he has to lay it out
there.
Come
on, man. He shoved you a little bit. Is this what it's like to be in a gang? You have to kill him now.
Yeah.
You say something, boy.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I have to say, I would shit my pants.
Sir,
if I were.
I did not, and I'll tell you what.
I said you talk too much.
Yeah.
You talk too... Oh, he's Pete standing up. Yul finishes his drink. The bar looks.
Now,
up.
Are
Why
don't
we? You make me shut up.
Why don't you make?
Are we assuming everyone else here is a robot too, or are they just? They
I don't
just
think
to clear
know.
Out because James was about to duck behind the bar here too.
Yeah. Well, and James knows he probably his character. If someone's being a jerk, it's like he does step over the bar. He does the double leg over.
He did a great hip shift.
Draw.
Your move.
This is great contact.
There's a showdown. Pete goes first.
Yeah! Oh,
center. Pass. Look at that. Right through. Oh. Got
him in the kidneys.
Oh, he's going down. Wow.
He's a stone cold killer.
He just pops him. All right, we'll stop it there. It's like way longer than I wanted the clip to go, but.
Talk about a natural.
Fucking yeah. Yul Brynner.
Great introduction
terrifying.
To Yul Brynner, yeah. Who's not the first time
they cast that so right. It would be like today, you know, it'd be like you would get like a Ukrainian mobster mm-hmm. and then across, like looking at Pete Holmes. Like, oh, God, like, hey, why are you so mad? I was here drinking. This whiskey's terrible.
I wanted a martini.
He would run. Yeah. So that didn't go. That went as he
and Christian
expect.
Bale gave him a great pat on the back. It's like you did it, and he feels good about himself from this point forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And John also. And he was like, "Did I just shot someone?" And then they reassure John. Goes like, "No. You don't think you just killed somebody, did you?" Mm-hmm. He's like, "It's all a game."
Yeah.
So it flips back that way. And then where do they go? The whorehouse.
They
go to the bordello. And I have to say, this one's more fun than the HBO one. Yeah. They're satin on the walls. There's a piano. There's ladies on the divans and stuff. It's great. It's a good time. I like this one. But this one of the only details, minus the Angela Serafian.
I think the HBO series just combined the two, the bar and the whorehouse.
They did, to save time. Yeah. They did. It makes sense.
And to save time.
To save time. That's what they do. Yeah. In their series, they drug out.
In their 13 episode series.
Oh my gosh. So they they're going upstairs with they pick out some ladies and they're going upstairs and they hear the bank being robbed.
And what's his nuts is still he's still hesitant to go in with the prostitute.
Yeah, so. He's not sure.
Well, we're still going down the path of him coming to terms with each little like element of morality.
Yes.
I mean, like, well, this is I'm not supposed to do this,
yeah.
Right?
Turns out that he's a divorced lawyer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a divorced lawyer, a divorced lawyer.
A divorced lawyer.
He's about 6 months fresh.
He could be a divorced lawyer.
Well, he should be. $1,000 a day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got everyone we see too, we should understand that they are bank. These are people of means.
Yeah.
All of the humans
these
in here.
These folks got money.
It's an interesting question though. You brought up like, you know, are all the people in that bar robots or humans? Mm-hmm. Like, do they know what the ratio of robots to humans that they're going to encounter when
That's
they're in this amusement park?
No.
And it kind of makes a difference because, you know, if you're going in there and fucking everything you see because, you know, how many...
Yeah, how do we
how
know
many
there
unintentional
aren't women
babies,
go
you know,
movie?
Or... Yeah.
Oh, no.
I don't know.
Robot
Although,
babies.
I gotta say, in thinking about this procedurally, the first thing that I do is like, oh, I would get... Because if I'm a high-rolling billionaire, whatever, I would get somebody to come with me and get the park to allow me to have them not told that this is a park experience. I think we could do this. I'd like to pull this off. It'd need to be a little more modern day, but we could dress it up. We could rob a bank or something. Like, this would be great. And they'd freak the fuck out. Yeah. Be like, dude, you were with me. You're part of this. You're going to go to jail. Get in the car. Drive.
On horses, though.
I think that would be... See, because that's my instinct. And then if I had, like, a holodeck, right? As soon as somebody falls asleep, it's me get, like, bottle jacks onto the bed. We get another wolf. We wheel it in there. Holodeck, right? Like, that is... April... Like, April Fool's just become so much better then. Like, how come that isn't a thing? Yeah. Anyway, that's what I would do. Yeah. I have a spec... That's good stuff. I have a spec script for the Orville I have to write now.
Oh,
it'll
nice.
Be good. Copyright so they're going price. Upstairs. That whorehouse is more fun, but they got to get the robo rape on. They're in, right?
John There's no robo rape. This is all consensual. Everyone, it's a business deal.
But they need to give a raper in while they're there.
That doesn't happen until medieval world.
All yeah, right. No. This is all consensual. This is prostitution.
I dig.
This is consensual.
Actually, I was about to bring that up. define consensual on that part.
The robots were both.
Well, I mean, this is legitimate sex work.
Hakey, can you rape a sofa? Yes or no?
I haven't been indicted.
The sofa never said no.
I asked if you had raped a sofa. Yeah. I asked if a sofa could be raped.
Well, I think it is a wonderful statement of the fundamental question of the West world phenomena, right? Which is at one point does an inanimate object take on life morality, right? Mm-hmm. And this is the wonderful bit about like this scenario is you can in a literary sense make something almost exactly like a human.
Mm-hmm.
So literally, tell me what the separation between that and a human
is. Ex Machina? They explored exactly this.
Right. When in Ex Machina, like the idea is that this intelligence is even more creative than a human intelligence. So if it is some suggestion of non-mechanical thinking,
yes,
that's not it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, what I love about the Westworld series is that they begin every episode in that whorehouse with the piano, this player piano playing a modern piece of music.
That was fun.
You know,
it was fun.
And what a metaphor for like, this is still the same art.
Yeah.
This is still the same life.
But
it's played by a mechanical thing.
Mm-hmm.
And if the statement is this is just the replaying of pre-recorded instructions,
uh-huh.
Is it any less full of life?
Yeah.
Are we anything more than or less than that? When you ask, sir, if I can rape a couch,
mm-hmm.
I say philosophy does not have the answer to that.
Maybe. But if I ask, can I rape a couch?
Yeah.
Philosophy says, maybe.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, this is very Nietzschean, right? The statement of there is no higher order that bestows meaning or special treatment to you because you're alive, in quotes, and them because there are machines over them.
Mm-hmm.
Every element of existence must come up with its own meaning, and if a sofa had the capacity to resist me,
mm-hmm.
then it would have the ability to consent or not consent.
Okay,
you know, and
it. As mentioned earlier, we have the robot that does consent and say no.
Ah, there's that. Yeah.
Has the ability to consent and chooses not to.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, then would it be rape? Right.
I know, this is why I brought up on the monitor here a picture of Thandi Newton. Now, I would argue there are a few scenes of this. Actually, Thandi Newton, I have to say, has the best, I'm losing my mind face I've ever seen. When it's like, remember when she's remembering the UFO-esque pictures in the floor and she's going through that? And she's like, what the? That was amazing.
Remember one of her many autopsies?
Yeah.
However, there is another piece here, too, where she is, a few of the characters have this, mm-hmm. sort of transcending, like, wait, has this happened before? Which is another mm-hmm. fantastic deja vu life-related thing.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Are we in this cycle once or a bunch, or is it just the day or our whole lives? Yeah. But they acknowledge that they, in the past, have been assaulted. Their mm-hmm. children have been killed, their whatever.
Right.
These traumas have happened to them.
Right.
So mm-hmm. even in the moment, if it was like, yes, we were into this, they realized that they had been raped.
Yeah, and the whole thing with Anthony Hopkins and his formulation for what makes us, like his humanity mm-hmm. is expressed in his statement repeatedly that we wipe their memory.
Exactly.
Yeah. That is the gift we give these people. They face the same horrors that humanity feels, but they are much better off because we do not allow that experience to define them in a way that humanity has to, you know.
And then Thandi disagrees. Yeah, yeah, yeah. She kind of makes a point out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, again, Thandi Newton, if you're listening, fucking amazing.
Which is why the series is really one of my best shows, because it expresses these questions, which I love so much, in such a, like, eloquent and beautiful way.
Speaking of eloquent and beautiful,
yeah.
I'm going to parlay this into the scene upstairs with Pete, with his his robo prostitute, he eloquently and beautifully, very slowly, gives it to that robo prostitute.
He makes love.
Oh, man. It is sensual. Well,
there was no sex in the
70s.
You made love. Like
that scene went on too long. Even though they went back and cut this stuff, does that scene go on even longer? Michael Crichton show penetration in Westworld?
I don't think it's a minute long, but it definitely goes.
Kush,
too
I've
long.
Asked this question before. If there was penetration in a movie we saw, do you think in the deleted scene? No, he's shaking his head.
Not
everybody.
In this one.
He's shaking his head.
Not in this one.
I just had to ask. I just had
wait.
To
we're
ask.
Judging penetration by facial expression in this case.
Yes.
Did she make a "I've been penetrated" facial expression?
No.
They did it though.
No.
You're,
I mean, the characters had sex.
They had sex. No, but, oh, no, what we were seeing, I think they were just making out in the
I think they were
out.
Literally just rolling. I'm going to roll to the left.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to roll to the right.
I think we...
And roll to the left.
It was actually the same shot that they reversed.
I'm going to disagree. I think the final, 10 seconds of that scene shows a 1973 take on penetration face would be.
She does throw her, not throw, but she leans her head back, and he kind of does this. I think that's what they were suggesting.
The 3 seconds of Annette Bening's infidelity in American Beauty is way more graphic than this scene.
Yes. Although this is 1973.
So you have to adjust for inflation there, you know.
That is rape in Europa.
So then we get... then we get outside at night, and we see a bunch of the robo corpses, presumably from the course of the day or the bank robbery or what have you. Mm-hmm. But this actually, what was it? It was the creator of Westworld on HBO.
Oh, hello.
Michael Crichton.
No, the dude that did Inception or the Dark Knight.
David S. Goyer.
Yeah, his brother.
Oh, yeah.
Chris Dolan.
Oh, okay.
Chris Dolan is one of the creators of this movie. Right. But this scene clearly struck somebody because it's 36 seconds in the movie?
I thought about the scene when I saw it, and the thought I had was this is an example of the part of a 1973 sci-fi movie that doesn't age well. Because this one relies on your sense of having never experienced the idea of this before, that human bodies would be treated with such... inanimateness.
Like a
team would come by and just clean up a whole street full of them so routinely. Mm-hmm. And I thought, wow, they really misjudged how a 2018 audience would...
How dare they?
Would totally be totally okay with this. This is not a stretch on...
Even in 1973, I would think that people would be up 24 hours a day. I don't know how you would just clear off a block so you could just pick up all those bodies from the bank robbery that went bad.
Well, you figure that it's got to be at 3:30 in the morning.
But there's going to be 7 or 8 people out still.
You have paid $1,000 a day for a vacation. I'm not going to be doing much sleeping.
Those 7 or 8 people could be cool with just seeing that panel.
Guys, wait a minute. Hold on.
These are the nitpicks. These are the plot holes.
They showed us. All right, you want a nitpick? They showed us the control room. They got a ton of cameras. They know where all the guests are.
Mm-hmm.
They wait until guests are in their pre-dessert, whatever. They have their hosts guide them there. There's a certain whatever they get them drunk enough.
That's true.
Then they call the thing.
But then how long are people just walking over corpses?
I think they actually showed this scene. What walking over corpses as part of the Westworld, the old timey charm. There's some corpses.
That
sometimes.
Entire street was littered with bodies. and a horse.
Now, in their defense, when Yul Brynner ate it. When Yul Brynner ate it, they carried him out immediately as part of the scenario.
But
what
we did hear, it was nighttime. They were going upstairs to fuck, and then the bank robbery was going on.
Yeah,
because what bank is open? It's open at night. Mm-hmm. But it could. I mean, it could be argued. It was
they were keeping Paris hours.
We'll deal with the bodies in the morning.
Yeah,
I could. If I was in a whorehouse, I'd be fine. They could do what they want.
Yeah.
But they do load them up into a cube van with a little gantry kind of sort of crane. Then they load the bodies from there into some remote port part, but load them onto a conveyor belt.
Yes.
And they go into a clean room that seems, for the time, big. I think at the time, if you saw like 16 medical tables on it, you'd be like, oh, what? HBO Westworld did a good job of expanding on this. Yeah. Of the like the
all
underground
those glass offices,
underground complex that goes down like 50 stories.
Like our studio kind of looks like Westworld.
It kind of does.
We're short a few windows, but
well, no, in some of the other of the other glassy ones. Yeah. It's good. It's good. I feel it.
So, but this I give them credit for this. Like this is wild stuff to be seeing. Not even if just for 1973, but for 2018, you're seeing robots being dissected. And just being treated like this one's got a bum foot.
This one
got shot in the spleen.
There are scenes that are not just as potent because there are much better effects, but the concept of that where it's like, oh, they're just robots and you kind of conveyor belt them in and working on them.
And they're getting upgrades constantly.
They had to do it differently, obviously, but it's as pertinent. It was like, okay, no, this is the same function.
And from a film standpoint, like the visual significance of this is the sort of devaluing of a human body.
Yes.
Right?
Yes,
we are literally looking at the human form and being forced to view it as this inanimate thing that we can manipulate without any repercussion. You know, we are the gods over these things.
Yeah.
The head supervisors going through all the autopsies.
There's a main doctor that we have. I actually don't catch his name.
Alan Oppenheimer or something?
Was that it?
Why not?
Yeah.
I don't know the character name. I think that's the actor, right?
His name, I believe, was on the list. There is a doctor going through and checking out the units. And after passing some very stiff horses and dogs, there are actors lying awake on the table, squirming.
I did see an eye move on the table.
No, that was purposeful. They're like awake.
Oh.
Some of them are like looking around a little bit. You know what I mean? They're not moving much, which like, that's a good touch, where it's like they're just in some kind of like holding mode.
Do you have a clip for that guy?
I don't have a clip for that.
Damn, I didn't notice that.
There are many clips of this, but some of them don't work on a podcast format. Yeah. I tried to get more of the speaky ones.
It's all right.
But inside that, he does say there's a very. They try and give us, and I appreciate this. Crichton does a good job. They try and give us shop talk.
Yeah.
They try and give us some, like.
And it was believe it, impressive. Like I watched that and that aged well.
It was in flow. Yeah. Yeah. There were things that they had referenced before. Yeah. There were problems and sort of sets that they were working on. It really worked. I think it did well. And also, one of my favorite parts about this was, should I put an X-900 in there? X-9, and it's power. He's like, I don't know if it's going to fit. And he goes, the most technical thing. Well, just in the torso, just jam it upward for it.
And that is exactly how engineers talk. Like, that was the most impressive thing to me, because, that's how I would imagine engineers do it.
If I heard that, I'd be like, wait, you're sure the gun sensor works every time?
I'm saying, if you think that I
heard you say, push all the stuff up
Think that the engineers who built a Saturn V to send people to the moon had any more sophisticated conversations than, like, need to run another fuel line.
This was 1973.
Yeah.
After that.
They were like taking more stuff out.
They were in there. Okay, so there are some hushed whispers during this scene from the doctor about the central unit or the processing unit malfunctioning.
Yeah.
And that is a problem. They're noticing some similarities. And then we go to a malfunctions-y type meeting with the doctors and the important people of the West World. Here we go. All right, so they're leaving. Very stiff horse.
The day we opened the resort, we had a failure in breakdown rate conforming to computer predictions.
EKG
that is 0.3 malfunctions for each 24-hour activation period, concurrent or not. This was an anticipated operations aspect of the resort, and we were fully able to handle it. The majority of the breakdowns were minor or peripheral.
I think
until about 6 weeks ago.
This was
then Roman
to take
world
in the future.
Had a rise in breakdown
deep
rate,
future,
which doubled in a week.
Okay, so they're
in
saying.
In addition, we saw a disproportionate rise in central as opposed to peripheral breakdowns. Now, we identified some problems with humidity control and regained homeostasis. Well, despite our corrections, the breakdown rate continued to climb. then he's talking about a computer virus. Have trouble.
So they're having some kind of breakdown.
Now we're seeing more Western world breakdowns.
There is one line at the end of this, which
clear pattern here,
to
which
me
suggests
is
an analogy
so
to
important
an infectious disease process. Ooh. Spreading from one resort area to the next.
Isn't it
a disease? Well, yeah, that's, but it comes at the end of the scene.
It's only a theoretical concept. There are many ways to order that data.
There are many.
I must confess, I find it difficult to believe in a disease of machinery.
We aren't dealing with ordinary machines here. These are highly complicated pieces of equipment, almost as complicated as living organisms. In some cases, they've been designed by other computers.
Ooh.
We don't know exactly how they work.
Bingo.
That's fantastic. Okay.
Bingo.
That is a great detail.
Yeah, so now I
Wait. Just 2 seconds. We're going to go into that robots designed by robots. Let's just get a little taste of this music. That's Westworld. Roman world, medieval world. Just so you can all get the musical cue for that.
That is genius.
That's great. I'm disappointed to say we don't see anything out of Roman world.
We do. The whole thing ends.
Only at the end. We see a couple stabbings, and that's it.
I think the female...
We see a bunch of medieval world. We don't see anything in Roman world.
No, we hear Nancy Lane, or whatever her name was, describe the girthy robot dongs of
not on this.
I was looking forward to seeing a little orgy.
Okay, is there argument to be made to see this movie from her point of view?
I would love to see her
view. Think we that might be more compelling than whatever this was.
I mean,
it would be a different
it would be different.
It would be a different take.
You're right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there's a lot going on, but this scene happens right after that scene. Yeah. I don't know how this happened, but they group fun scenes together and then dialogue.
Yeah.
But this is them turning the park on in the morning. Like, this is the
stand by for resort activation.
Why is this not 24 hours?
Yeah.
What do you mean? Why is it not running 24 hours?
Yes.
Actually,
because literally, like, a robot is just standing there. And then he turns on, he has the nonsense business to yawn.
I kind of feel like there's an argument to be made that in the current HBO Westworld, there's no Mardi Gras land.
Not yet. Not that we know of.
They don't have that technology to get the robot going for more than a day and to be, like, fucked up or have holes
in
it.
The HBO series at least had a
samurai. Semen leaking out of its head or something. Yep. All right, so here's the park turning on.
We talk over each other sometimes.
I have readings at all units, 5 included. Hold on. 14
lots of reel-to-reel tape.
Let's stand by for resort activation.
Painted by scientists after
sign. Okay. Oh, yeah. All right.
Really good.
Horse-drawn carriages still. Guards still. Roman people still.
You ready on phase 443?
I love the CV slash
443.
Oh, they're triangle computer.
Yeah.
Activated 5-9.
Oh, what is that? What is that?
That's some DOS code.
Lower gain alpha 2.
We had a green and black computer. Oh, I tried. The triangles are lined up. Everybody.
Now it's a hexagon.
Squid, squid, squid.
You better believe that I was trying to study the
now.
Go.
Oh, and the fountain starts.
And she walks.
I like how they give the fountains like a little pre-roll.
Yeah.
You know, like a 20-second.
They have to clean the algae out of there, at night. They you can't keep that running.
It's like in Switzerland, where they kind of scrub the in Geneva, where they scrub the bottom of the lake every night. Pete's up. Oh, he's got a little gray in the armpit there. I did not.
Oh, but that is
that.
A smile
that
on his face.
Is a lot.
Pete is
look at this.
Adjusting well.
Oh, Ed, that is a guy that we know too. This actor.
Oh, he is the ancillary.
He's waking up. There's a guy waking up.
Yeah, you did. You woke up next to a lady.
A lady.
If I could high-five that guy through the screen, I would.
Oh, that'd be good time. And
this
smile.
This was the squarest dude setting up for the movie, too.
Did I rape a robot? Anyway, so he's happy.
I would say he had a better time than John.
So they wake up, and then Pete goes to take a tubby. He's out there. And Yul Brynner shows up and knocks on the door. John answers it, and Yul Brynner is pointing a gun at him.
Yes.
And what happens? What happens in here? He is chewing him out, and we cut to Peter, who is wearing a towel. And
who's now a badass in a towel.
He's already...
this man...
He's like John McClane.
He's John McClane.
He's ascended to badass.
He knows exactly what... He's got a side iron on his
on his shoulder.
Slow motion, kicks the door in.
With a towel tucked in around his waist, yeah. He kicks a door open, and the towel stays on.
With the holster flying off his shoulder.
And he flat out murders Yul Brynner.
A second time.
Goes out the window. Yeah. Yep. And then is immediately surrounded by a crowd who just looks at him.
Okay, everybody, I want you to try this at home. You don't have to kick a door open. Leave it, like, just perched a little bit open.
This door
could
have easily been opened.
No, but just put a towel around your waist. Hold a remote control in your cell phone in both hands. Kick the door open and see how far you get without that towel.
In fact, give him an extra added. Staple the towel.
One staple, cha-chuck, right in the front, and then try and do it. That towel is just...
You'll step through,
and then you'll find out you left it in the bathroom.
Like, I felt really
not with you.
I felt really proud of Peter at this point. Like, my investment in this character... my child had grown up.
The development, I feel he's getting into it. It's like, hey, his buddy's in trouble. Yeah. That I like, too. Like, he's showing up for his buddy. He's showing him some cool stuff.
Because this is two for two times that James Brolin is ducked behind something.
Yes. So he shoots Yul Brynner at a window. But, unfortunately, the sheriff gets wind of this and is not too pleased and locks Pete up.
I was genuinely surprised by that.
That was crazy, right?
Yeah. He locked.
I was like, "Wait a second!"
Goes
again. $1,000 a day. You're telling me the point of this place is I can shoot and rape, and you're gonna have me spend part of my $1,000 a day thing in your amusement park jail.
I kind of feel like this heightens this because it heightens what it is.
If I were there alone and didn't have James Brolin watching my back,
I feel like
there wasn't a friend who was going to give me dynamite to bust out of the jail.
I would love to see a class action lawsuit about how somebody spent like more than 10 hours of a single day in a jail cell. I was looking forward to some robot human consensual sex in the Western setting and I was denied that. That would have been good.
Had that old man not been run through with a sword, he'd have the case.
My client is upset.
Now, Heggy, I asked Kai about this earlier. Where was the dynamite? Because the robot
in the
Indian,
coffee. It
was
in the coffee.
In the coffee. In the coffee.
It was like an M80. I mean, those walls are very brittle.
So wait. Okay, so it gets locked up. Yeah. And what is the plan? A Pocahontas. Sneaks in.
Oh, yes.
That sneaks in.
A Native American
walks in with a tray.
Well, this is 1973, not a real Native American.
Exactly.
This is an Italian woman.
Very Israeli woman.
Yeah. With some poco shells.
A Native American. Yeah, and she's wearing the leather jerkin kind of full thing.
I honestly did overlook the details of that scene because she does motion to the coffee.
Yeah.
And I don't really understand how the coffee...
There's a note tucked under the coffee.
Oh, I didn't notice.
Oh, we missed this. There is like a yellow piece of paper that's line ruled. Oh, don't make me... I rented this fucking movie. I'll pull this.
Show us, guy.
I thought the coffee was nitroglycerin or something.
Talk it up.
You know? Don't drink it.
Kai was theorizing that it was like in the pancakes. So when she's coming in with the tray, I assumed... Like there's a key.
Yeah,
she just has a key.
Right.
Whatever, you know.
And he's gonna garrote the robot sheriff
takes a habitual nap. Yeah. There's no reason for him to take a nap. He doesn't need to take a nap. This is a clear setup for him to just now I have the key. Now I quietly
sneak out.
This is the stealth mode.
Yeah,
get out of jail free. Kai fixes.
Hold on, it's coming. It's goddamn coming. You had to. Okay, here. You know what? I didn't schedule this clip, but you assholes are making me play it. Here it is. Here look for the fucking note. There's a note there.
Pocahontas is walking into the...
Pocahontas. Here it is. Wait, why can't we hear... Oh, I muted it. Here it is. Okay, so he's locked up. Here it is.
Sure. Oh, no, he's counting bullets.
Counting bullets.
Okay. Pocahontas, what do you want?
So a cookie sheet with a picnic checkered towel over it.
Wait.
Sheriff holds her up, looks under one corner, says, cool.
You could fit a whole gun and six bullets on the other side of that tray.
She could have a gun in her back pocket and just shoot him. Okay, coffee. Look, there's a piece of paper.
I did.
Coffee and biscuits.
They didn't make that clear.
What do you mean? They didn't say, there's a note under there. Don't listen, Sheriff.
They have a red and white checkered tray, and then there's a white note. Blends in enough.
Play it again. No, I got does. You.
No, but... Hey,
all I saw was coffee and biscuits.
I saw this at the same time. We're not all detectives.
I was fucking
confused, so I wound it back and saw a piece of paper on the tray.
This still seems
it does take at least two.
At best, this is a cherry pie. At best, this is a cherry pie.
The height does indicate.
It up.
It looks like a cherry pie there. Yeah. Here, what are we looking at? We're going to flip it up. She's looking. She looks down. And he goes,
what?
And he reaches down.
Stop.
Coffee. Oh, look. Well, what is that?
This is asking too much of the audience.
It looks like a gun, actually.
This is asking too much of the audience.
That little thing, that could be anything, dude. There's clearly coffee
that's
and
a chopstick.
Biscuits.
It's a dildo. He had very specific Westworld instructions.
That is the thick end of a chopstick.
It's a thick. He likes to eat his country biscuits and black coffee with chopsticks.
Now, that could be a note. That could be a napkin.
This is fusion.
Hold on. So this, with the paper that's folded with the lines, could be a napkin.
It could be a napkin.
Covered by another napkin underneath
HGTV
the on top of a napkin. This is the HD rental.
No. It's not the HD screen.
It is HD. This isn't... So it's surrounded by napkins. Anyway, so the note must detail...
Where's the dynamite guy?
It's this is dynamite.
This black rod.
It's black dynamite.
Black inanimate carbon rod.
This black dynamite. It's black dynamite, bitch.
All hail the carbon rod.
So he says, all hail. Okay, so anyway, I think we got it. We have dynamite. We have a note that says, don't stand near the fucking dynamite.
Yeah.
We're good. Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Run the club.
Oh, we're going to run it. Okay.
So is that an instruction sheet for dynamite?
Yes. It is, do not stand near dynamite. Dynamite is
lighter
dangerous.
Is in the biscuits.
And so, okay, she looks back up at him.
Thank you, Pokemon.
Oh, no, he's asleep.
The sheriff's...
That was quick.
The sheriff's...
Oh, no.
Oh, no,
he's checking his gun.
He's just sort of cleaning his gun. She's leaving.
He
he's
puts suspicious. The tray on the bed there. I'm just going to hang
so
out with
this. So
if
he had lifted the napkin all the way up,
and
he
now
would have
it's
seen
nap
the dynamite.
Time. So long, Pogonatus.
Okay, so
Christian Bale's
outside chewing on a cigar.
He loves a cigar.
So I'm looking at the cell. Where does he hide from a rapid expanse of heat and air pressure?
Maybe he tucks it just onto the windowsill and it does nothing?
We're going to find out later in this movie that even bar fights, with a robot punching you in the face... does not hurt you at all.
They could be pulling those punches. That could happen. Okay, so he's... Everybody listen to the music, too. This is... They're really giving it to us. Bistian Krail is now walking across the street. Spots the horse. All right, he's getting ready. He throws the gun belt. His partner's gun... He's his partner now.
His partner's
he's
gun
belt. He's busting his partner out of the pokey. Which I dig. I identify. This is a thing we've
this
seen
is the
in
adventure.
A ton. We've seen it in a ton of fucking
this is
movies.
Christian Bale's lever.
We're comfortable with this. We're like, cool.
I'm confident
to say, Kai, that I would bust you out of...
I would fucking...
I would at least put a little bit of effort into trying to...
I would actually love to see
bust
you.
Are you saying
with.
You
I
would send Pocahontas in?
If she were available, I'd be happy to.
But I would love to see the planet come up. And it does blow outward, too.
And
it's a shape charge.
Yeah.
It was in the coffee cup. Yeah.
Conical. Oh, yeah. He put it into the bag. He shoots it.
Christian Bale murders the sheriff.
Okay.
Bang,
so
bang.
He shoots. Christian Bale shoots the sheriff, and Christian Bale was in there earlier. We could have saved probably 4 hours if Christian Bale, when he's in there, just shoots the sheriff the first time and just walks away. Like, I don't know what happened here, but Christian Bale shoots the sheriff, kind of negating the blow the
this
door of the prison plan. Why didn't they just put the dynamite under his desk? Like, there are many questions here.
And that, sir, is why your name is not as well known as Michael Craig.
I couldn't bridge these worlds.
Yeah, no,
you know, the desk is so close to the cell that he could have, if his arms are long enough, he could have put the sheriff in a chokehold while he went to... Well, it took a nap.
None of us have the vision of Michael Crichton.
Nope.
We don't.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't do the frame by frame. Okay,
this is the rough draft for Jurassic Park, by the way.
This is draft number one, yeah.
This is...
It went through a few revisions before.
This is Jurassic Park so far. They're having fun. They don't know what's going to go wrong.
Yeah.
And
John,
him.
When the Pirates of the Caribbean breaks down, the pirates don't care. Look, the passengers...
Okay, Kush, though, and Hagee, mm-hmm. we could argue that John shot the sheriff, but there wasn't a deputy to shoot.
No, there was not a deputy.
Not until we're reintroduced to the ancillary character, the guy who's discovering his own.
He's selling
his
own.
That was the guy we just saw who woke up in bed with.
Yeah.
There's a schlubby glasses guy that gets some funny asides.
I think he has some of the best scenes. Yeah.
He's got some fun stuff. There is a scene where they are out at the edge of the desert now, and they're announcing that they're desperados. They're like, man, that was crazy. We're out here.
This is the experimental film. It was just like, your horse is beautiful. Thanks, man. I love your horse, too. It's got a lot of spots on it.
Wait a minute.
Hey, man.
You know, we're kind of in a place where anything we do doesn't matter.
What do you say? I mean... But they're watching us like all the time, man. And we get like
They don't care.
What?
They don't know that.
I thought that this was just like, you know, we put
no
this,
man.
Christmas
nobody
cards,
nobody cares.
They're at work. We're gonna watch the.
Nobody's
reel.
Gonna know.
You mean like if something happened?
Yeah, that something.
We didn't know what the result of how we would feel about it would be. Others wouldn't be able to judge us before we knew how we felt.
Nobody
about it.
Would know
the
That's
truth.
All I'm saying
they call that, and I don't know how I know this. Don't ask me, but they call that in some circles the phallus truth. They say there's an honesty under the stars among men.
I'm down with that.
I would love to see these deleted scenes. They sound super homoerotic. I'm curious. Maybe we're in Greece. You don't know. This could have been in Greece.
This could have been in Greece.
It is.
This could have been in Rome World.
It does not look like the valley at all. It does not look like that. Do we know where this was filmed?
No.
Probably the valley.
Yeah.
No.
So they're desperados now. And then we've got a snake scene
and
here.
Your horse is beautiful.
I had a real quick note here before. I want to play the clip about the snake, which is a fun. You've got some intel on that. But they have a quick scene in medieval town, and I think the guy is now playing the king.
Yes. No. He's a
dude.
He's just a lord.
He's a lord. Yeah, he's a lord. He gets malorded a few times. He's a frumpy malord, and he's sleeping with the queen.
Clandestinely. As we know, because he has to defeat the Black Knight.
His character is sleeping with the queen. He has not actually had sex with the queen.
Yeah.
No.
He's been there a week, and
he's
that
been
hasn't
turned
happened.
Down a lot.
He's getting shut down.
Yeah.
Well, and
the girl thing, play the clip, guy. She talks about this.
That I don't have. Well, I've got the snake thing next.
I'm sorry, but.
Yeah.
Right. No, so.
We're jumping in.
We go to medieval world, and all of a sudden we're in the queen's bunker, and she's being treated by three m'ladies.
Three m'ladies.
They're doing her hair. They're all dressed up like her, and then she tells them, leave me. And he has been hiding behind this curtain for probably hours. One can imagine. Yes? No?
I would.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I was there.
Okay. So all of a sudden they start talking about, they start kissing, they start making out, and all of a sudden she breaks it off. It's like, if the king ever found out, he would kill us. And he goes,
I would gladly die for you.
Yeah.
Yes, he would.
He's into it.
Yeah.
Which
is super corny.
You think they didn't do it?
No, I don't think they did it.
Mm-mm.
She made clear that he's got to show some balls by defeating the Black Knight.
The Black
first.
Knight is coming to town.
But what
tomorrow.
Is their thing then? Why is she favoring him this way?
She's so busy she doesn't have time for it.
No, but
he has to kill the king.
She needs some self selection among all the suitors.
He's made all the wrong picks. That's just how it's gone. He's made all the wrong choose your own adventure.
Choose.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's getting a little ambitious for, you know, his self-image there.
I think, Dick.
Yeah.
I can see it that way. Mm-hmm. The way I watched it and the way I took it in was why they made the scene where Daphne, the robot man,
rejected
Daphne.
The reason that was impactful
Yeah.
was that they had intercourse before. So now, to him and us, it is weird. They have a scene where he goes up.
I know. He calls her child, which was a moment that I noticed. Yeah.
Ooh, the 70s had some different mores.
Yeah. But I don't think the implication there was that he actually slept with her. I think he like laid the groundwork for... Yeah, I mean, this man is working on a completely different timeline than Westworld.
That every day sort of defaults back to where everyone was standing in the morning. I mean, for him, maybe there's some progression. I kind of get, but they're kind of laying at our feet that all of these dweebs are murdering people or fucking people, and it's like this is the
see. I disagree.
We saw Pete go from bullshit to badass in like a day.
I think Pete is the hero character. We are made to feel particularly proud of this man, right? His journey is so accelerated. But then we watch the other the comedy relief character in Westworld, who becomes the sheriff, and he's having his little moments, but they're coming slowly. And then
he does a lot of damage in that bar fight, FYI.
Oh, did he? Yeah.
He's wearing
the
Sheriff Star is prominently featured.
We'll get to the bar fight. It is a fucking epic bar fight.
And he is downing liquor and
everyone's downing
liquor. The comedy element is that he's constantly drinking and somebody destroys the bottle that's currently in his hand, and rather than doing what any of us would do and take the jagged edges of the bottle already in our hand and you know,
savage the person,
some retribution, you know, he drops it and chooses the unfortunate high road. But anyway,
I think he gets a couple punches in
the medieval world character, though. He is on a very slow path to overcoming his moral predilections for I might call her child and try and bet her on some scale, but if I'm just going to be really forward about it, that would be crossing a line.
He was down with betting, like he would. I mean, that was clearly the game from the outset.
Right, but if he were to be aggressive about it, now that would be crossing a moral line.
I think regardless of it being the 70s for him, or the 21st century, he doesn't know how to talk to people, period.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, society has not set him up.
How do we know? Well, here's the question. I agree with all of that. Yeah. I agree with his character and the temperament or whatever. I feel like through the editing, to make an argument that this sexy robot is supposed to behave like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Imagine that he had said the same line that the day before.
Are you saying it's her fault?
Yes. But she's not a victim.
Oh, no.
She's complicit. No. But what I'm saying is she caused it. She didn't wear jeans.
She shouldn't have dressed like that.
Where is our personal
responsibility?
Thank you
for subscribing to Cushion Kai. This has been
so fucking offensive. No. The point is, if he had said, we're kind of setting up, if he had said that same thing and made those advances the day before, right, it would have gone down. Or not even the day before, prior, right?
Had he not...
The researchers, the engineer guys are like, that should have worked. That was like a level one seduction-y thing. She's a fuckbot. Like,
as soon as she bounces from his chambers, the scientists are all in a flutter like, oh no, she stopped. Like, yeah, she ran.
I feel like they shut down
the program.
I feel like they've watched him fuck before on this flimsy premise.
No, they've watched her fuck before.
They've watched her fuck all the time.
The point of the engineering of all this is it doesn't matter how inept you are as a seducer. They were watching an obvious and malfunction.
They're adding patches to the system all the time. At one point they're talking about add the infidelity program to the queen for 3 days from now.
3 days from now.
Or 3 days from what?
Wait, did they say that?
Forget
though?
About the time
that.
Period.
No, it, the time period's important.
The time period's
it's all about
important.
The time period.
Tomorrow. Tomorrow the queen has infidelity in her program.
Did they say that, though?
Yes.
They did. They did say that.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes. They're constantly altering everyone's program.
Okay. No, I missed that line. No, yeah. I'm amenable that it hadn't happened before.
They would rather not do it, but they're ready to do it. Like, that's a surprise in the handmaiden.
They do have a line that very specifically says, we want our guests to be happy.
Exactly.
Like, that is a really clear line in the first third of the film.
Yeah.
Where I think in relation to that scene where... He's like, oh, he's going after the queen. Well, put the infidelity program in. We want our guests to be happy. Yeah. So that they make pains to specifically
kind of now, address.
I think I missed that whole that section of that.
That line stuck in my mind.
Okay,
and again, one of the key philosophical lines.
I dig
the whole thing. Yeah,
we all only saw this less than 4 hours ago.
However, it is very real that no, they're all the engineers are like. This is a rape-based theme park.
I think the statement "we want our guests to be happy" is one of the mantras. That's
kind
of
all
the,
you
yeah.
really, yeah,
and you know, in a more serious sense, like is the, again one of the core dilemmas of this thing is we have agreed to take great pains to allow people to do almost anything they
exactly.
want. So, what is the line between what they want and what we're going to allow machines to do address that.
Well, they walk it right up to the line with Daphne, and then they kind of, this is the best point to put it, she refuses. The fuckbot that was created to
good for her.
The paunchy man.
Good for her.
She's like, I don't want that.
She could do so much better.
She
and slaps him.
She slaps him. And the yep. Oh! The engineers are confused. But
as they are with real women, by the way.
That is true.
Most likely.
Most likely. Inside. There it is. We are going to move on real quick here. And hold on.
This is after the jailbreak.
After the jailbreak.
Immediately after the jailbreak.
And they are now out.
In the desert?
Out in the desert. Pete and John.
There's Daphne.
Hey, Daphne.
There's Daphne. We're just going to, we'll jet by here.
Can you leave Daphne on there?
Yeah. Daphne.
My lord says Daphne. And they cut away.
Oh, I love this place.
We got the Palomino.
I love my horse.
There's a snake coming up.
I love my horse and I love Julie.
There's a part of me that went, sorry, I'm
Julie
pausing
is
it.
His ex-wife.
They're talking. We hear this is an L kind of cut, but we've got the snake coming at us. We can see it. And for a moment, when we were discussing about, like, was that a real snake? Mm-hmm. There's a part of me like, oh no, was it animatronic? I'm like,
that's
this
a real
is
snake.
1973. That
is
there's
a real
no
snake.
Way. No. There's no way that it would be that the slither and the what have you. Like, oh,
there's
right.
no uncanny valley there.
There's not. Yeah.
I like the spots on my horse.
Oh, it's awesome.
The spots on the horse. Your horse is beautiful.
Snakes are cool, guys. Look at these things.
I liked yours too.
It's like one. Here, they figure this all out.
Look out. Let
why
me handle it.
Why don't they take a couple steps?
Misses, and he bites.
Oh, it's on
James
his arm,
Brolin.
And he is swinging that arm.
Dig this. In the movie, this is supposed to be a robot snake.
It is.
However,
a robot snake.
This is a real life snake. It's Ben D. Fang, but that sucker grasped onto James Brolin's arm, literally piercing the skin.
Oh,
you mean devenomed?
Devenomed,
but still fanged. There are teeth in James Brolin.
Yes.
Yeah.
But without
the bottom
any venom.
Row teeth.
Yeah, yeah.
They
yeah.
defang James Brolin later when he got dementia. It was scary. So they shoot the snake, but he's been bitten. And this goes to highlight further that they're losing control of their things.
But what an interesting tidbit. So like he literally got
bit by a snake.
So it was
for
there.
This scene.
Wow.
He got bit. And then they have a brief snake. Let me try and find it. There's like a brief snake autopsy scene here where they want to get a full. Oh, they jam the circuit board and the capacitors in there into the snake. A great piece.
So what would PETA have to say about this?
They would hate
nothing.
This scene.
Nothing. It's not a real snake, guys. This is hey, PETA, shut up. This is what you want in movies, fake fucking snakes.
We
you want
this
fake
snake
snakes.
From a
don't bitch at this.
This snake died of natural causes.
Know who your enemies are. Don't fight this fight. Don't fight this fight. God, don't come up with that. I'm angry at PETA people right now. You didn't hear that.
Mm-mm.
What are you talking about?
We didn't broadcast that.
No. Anyway, so after the intense snake autopsy, they're aware now there's a problem. So the scene earlier we had where it's like, oh, the failure rate is upping. There's some issues. They have a second, hey, there's some malfunctions going on meeting.
Logic circuits on the snake simply failed to respond. There was no sign of mechanical damage or tampering and no clue to the malfunction.
Central mechanism psychosis.
I feel we should shut down the resort for a month.
Oh, that seems rash.
Well, the snake injured a guest. We can't allow that to happen. Many elements of the Delos Resort are potentially dangerous. That's part of the appeal. But if they should become truly dangerous...
I agree. We can announce that the resort is overbooked and not allow any further new guests to arrive. I think we can take care of the ones already here.
He's the HR.
We can ensure the safety of the guests.
They
could be in desperate trouble.
But we can ensure their safety. Everything's fine.
That face. So says.
I like. Okay, so they've got like a English, French kind of 16th, 17th mm-hmm. century thing. This guy is like Russian something.
Yeah.
Like,
he's a Cossack, yeah.
Yeah. What happened here? Yeah. I know they were related.
I'd buy it.
Later
I'd buy it. Yeah.
He just showed up.
Here's a question. Here's a good question. Like if you got if Delos were giving you a prepaid trip, like what would it be? Roman medieval or Westworld?
Yeah, Roman world.
Yeah, I think I would have said Roman too. Yeah.
You would go to Roman world.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I'd go to fucking Roman world. Roman world.
I'd love to wear a toga, drink wine, and then just bang people. Like it's just banging. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm Caligula. Yay! It really is sort of the Caligula simulator. Whatever you can think of, everyone's game. Oh yeah, sure. Whatever. So they get out. They get out of there. We cut. They do a lot of cuts between the worlds because they have these. There's sort of our A storyline. I'm actually going to call Pete and John like they're like our A minus storyline, and then we've got like a few like C pluses. There's but we get to see the Malord getting the stink eye from the Black Knight, mm-hmm. who the Queen has set up that he has a weak side, and that was actually kind of cool. Yeah. The what are these folks? The storytellers, the programmers?
No, the experience engineers.
They listen in and they're like, it just said this knight has a weakness. Program that into the knight.
Yeah.
And clearly it was operating from one of the like 136 options that can go for
it. Well, the queen wouldn't have said that unless, you know. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
There was some scenario that they could bring up.
Well, it was some prompting, and they kind of went. Yeah. But, I mean, it shows improvisation. Like, this is pretty advanced, I have to say. Because they don't know what it's going to say, essentially. Because they had to tell it, right? They had to listen and then say.
Yeah.
They could not automate that, which is a... Where you're like,
which brings me back to that key line. That's, I think, one of the key lines of the whole movie. From that scene that you showed the clip of, which was, you know, where the final statement of that scene is, some of these machines were built by other machines, and we just don't understand how they work.
Wait, have you tried? No.
No. But I can tell you, like, from my experience in software engineering, like, this is a real thing happening today. There's a whole class of you know, a term you're sure you've heard is machine learning, and there you have
it gave us like great fake porn,
neural networks and everything. But one of the realities of that of that technology is that no human can actually describe why certain decisions get made.
Mm-hmm. I saw a thing on just the NBC Nightly News.
Yeah.
Where it was a couple in, like, Idaho,
yeah.
and they were receiving random packages from Amazon. And Amazon did not know why they were receiving random packages.
Yeah.
They theorized that it was people fishing for positive reviews from random people, but the volume of stuff that they were receiving was insane. Yeah. They were receiving, like, 6-7 things a day of just like,
what?
Well, this is like a solar car mount, and this is a bit for an auger, but it's an auto rotator, and it's got a second piece for coring a table. And you're like, what the fuck is this? And to me, that's like, oh, if there's an AI out there that's putting itself together from different pieces, and it's like, this is one of the byproducts.
I would eventually.
Oh, but not even that. This is a byproduct of a system of a thing that we don't get why it has to do this. Where it's like, this may not have a direct output, but it's like.
But I mean, from a very technical standpoint, I can confirm for you that, you know, the algorithms that Google uses to determine if an image has a face in it or if an image has a cat in it. Mm-hmm. Human beings cannot look at the source material for that and describe to you exactly in what way it came to those conclusions.
Right.
That's the nature of that technology. It's based on a machine teaching a machine how to do it. That struck so close to home for me when I heard that one line.
Great,
I was like,
that's a great line.
There is 1973 looking forward to a very clear reality we have today. And I'm not sure that the reality we'd face today is a robot sex bot turning me down and then me being killed by Yul Brynner.
In my version, Yul Brynner is the sex robot, and then he kills me.
Well, that is a scenario that I could imagine. But,
very specific.
Yeah. No, but this phenomena, the phenomenological, like, scenario of machines getting beyond our ability to explain them is already happening, you know?
What if...
We just haven't made robots out of them yet.
What if we posit that the first... Not till we get to like a Dyson sphere where we harness all of a sun's energy.
Yeah, sure.
To the point where we can create like a competent AI and the processing power that's vast. What if the thing that it comes up with is that it needs to understand that in the future it will be smarter and be able to implement itself?
Sure.
So it contacts itself in the future, and it works out a way to do that.
Well, future space time travel is totally possible and completely understood. That's not a mystery.
Yeah.
Special relativity understands exactly how to do that. You just send something traveling near the speed of light, and its time passes way slower than ours, and you just send it on some trajectory that brings us back to us. You can get to the future. Now, you can't travel in the past, so I don't know how a computer talking to its future self would help it unless it could then send some kind of a message in return. But we have gotten way off.
No, but wait a minute.
Yeah, all right.
If it is smart enough to know and then complete that it could send forward, it would trust that it could send backward, I would say.
Oh, that there would be some technology. Well, I mean, I can't say that I would think of any scenario in which you could... Which a machine...
I would be then at that point, yeah. I would say, could you come up with a Matrix-like thing where we'd be comfortable? If I knew I was in it, then I could be comfortable, yeah. I would say. That's what we're kind of coming to VR for. Yeah. Anyway, I wanted to underscore this discussion about AI and sort of the advances with, I think, the height of what we could possibly recreate with AI, which would be one of the greatest 70s bar fights of all time that we are going to let run here, and it is greater than 3 minutes. This is it's an epic bar fight,
as choreographed by Benny Hill.
So wait,
all right, let's start that bar fight.
Retreat. It was on the action board.
Earl Scruggs providing.
What do you say?
The prostitute yells, "Hey, bar fight!" and smashes someone over the head.
Yeah. No explanation.
Nope. And, okay, people are diving over tables. Sugar bottles are being smashed over heads. Oh, someone's going through the railing. Oh, boy. Full head over heels onto the table. Christian Bale is upset. So he's going to kick that guy's ass. Really shouldn't even be standing up with this. We should get him out of an ambulance. Oh, someone tried to punch someone and then all the kids get the business. Did he took out a curb. He took out a post.
Now notice that they have a whole like mechanism in place to replace the robots every night. But there's a lot of carpentry that has to occur as well.
I would have to hope they've got some kind of like 3D or just the sets of this shit. Or maybe it's like a stage house and you gotta like pick up and sort of and just sort of bring in another one. Guys, people are still being put through windows. There's a keg that gets...
This would be one of the most just like disenchanting carpentry jobs ever, because you're just rebuilding the same bar over and over and over.
You need to have your memory.
Yeah.
Oh, the new sheriff. Instead of, he was right there. He could have driven the broken glass.
That's where my mind went.
We know how it was there. Oh, tables are getting destroyed.
Come on, let's go upstairs.
Oh, yeah.
And he doesn't go upstairs.
She does not go upstairs. The man of the house is a little more man-ish in this than the HBO Westworld. That's a choice.
Again, he has a bottle in his hand.
Sheriff picked up another bottle and was drinking, and it broke again. Sheriff is trying to drink as much as possible. The railing's breaking.
No,
That's what I'm saying. Somebody's got a wood lathe, and he's just constantly, making a new Bowser.
We both saw that. That's not a wood lathe. That's a peanut brittle lathe. They're like, things are just chip. Like everything breaks, the rails break like nobody's business.
Everybody has a bottle of booze.
Oh my gosh. Oh, and then we're back to Yul Brynner, a new Yul Brynner bot being unveiled.
Yeah, he's got a lot of work done.
There's a ton going on there. That bar fight, everybody, go back and measure. They were fighting. There's a full on brawl every second of what we're talking about.
So that's about as cartoony as those old cowboy movies could be at that time.
Well, guys, this is a fun, shit's going down. They give you some fun tropes in this movie.
You still get punched in the face by a robot.
It's happening. It is
or a
happening.
Real person. It's still worth Either it. One can't hurt. Still,
depends what you're into, but,
and then
right
at the end of that, I actually should have kept it going because they just showed Yul Brynner on a table, and then they do a thing where they flip his face up.
Yeah.
That was a really good Yul Brynner mask. Guys,
it was
a really good-looking one-to-one face mask that they did. It's 1973! That was impressive. It was photorealistic.
And then they critically upgrade his visual and auditory sensors to the newer model.
They go there. I was going to play the Daphne Slaps Milord clip. But we are running low on time. However, the engineers say, "Oh my gosh, she was not seduced by the guest." I feel like that frumpy man, the only thing that he has seduced was something that was mayonnaise related. But I kind of was like, safe "Yeah, Daphne, yeah, I get it. You weren't enthused by this handsy, sweaty man. It was not in.
He's got zero game."
They did say, too, or they elaborated, they're like, wait a minute, she's a sex bot with sex parts, so she should have been into it. Mm-hmm. So that has to be, I would imagine if there's other, mess-ups with the protocols, you kind of get it into it with a robot, and then there's just, a Ken doll kind of bottom part.
Oh, yeah. Like, you somehow decided that you wanted to bed the valet.
The bartender. You're going after the bartender.
The carriage valet.
You're into bears.
Yeah. The engineers are like, we did not see that one coming.
Oh, right after this, the most gradual sword fight imaginable takes place between Milord and the Dark Knight.
Yeah.
It's just like, ding, ding, gradually climb up onto a table, ding.
Yeah,
it's pretty,
He kicks a bunch of shit at him. It's
pretty
very
slow.
Underwhelmed.
But then, shockingly, they give us this, they give it to us. Dark Knight wins! Victory, Dark Knight! He takes out Milord. Fucking sword through the gun. It's done! Kills the guest.
This is a big plot hole here because the guns in Westworld have sensors that will not allow a human being to die.
Mm-hmm. As do the swords.
The swords, they don't talk anything about the swords,
they never
which will just
the swords.
Run you through.
They just are sharp still.
They're still sharp.
Stab. There's a stabbing component.
No, they have a...
There's no
I'm just going to speculate.
Yep.
Speculate away.
They have
a retractable blade.
They have a spring mechanism that is heat activated.
Negative. I've just agree with you.
Don't know what the fuck. Why? But anyway, Dark Knight wins. The scientists. Here's one of my favorite parts of the movie. The Dark Knight wins. The scientists are concerned. So what do? Shut it all down.
They go
to the protocol to shut it all down. Now let me ask you this: Have you worked in a place where there's a fail-safe button? If emergency happens, that's not a self-destruct button that will kill you. They initiate the emergency protocol
to stop
everything.
Which shuts off the power to their own door, yes.
Which, if we understand, dooms them.
Yes.
They die in that control room.
That's right. Insane.
Everybody, there's no air flowing.
Well, no, but in their defense,
they had an expectation.
Because they were like, turn it back on. And they had an expectation that they could do that, but then he says the relay's frozen.
That shouldn't make the room airtight, though. Like, this isn't a bank vault. It's just the office you go to Monday.
What are the reasons you need to make a control room? You need to seal a control room. Is outsiders getting in?
This wasn't engineering in 1973. This isn't engineering in 1983, nor is it engineering in 2018.
Somebody foresaw this scenario
and designed this room.
We're currently in one of the most state-of-the-art offices there could be right now, and we're not going to suffocate here. We're a little hot.
It's warm.
It is.
It's a little warm. I'm smelling myself and others. Like, it's pretty intense in here.
However, none of us are going to die of suffocation.
It's still not going to happen.
Well, here's the other thing, is that none of these engineers knew that there's a battery in each of these. And they're like, shut off the power.
They're running on reserve power.
There is not one engineer who raises his hand and says, sir, I'm sorry.
They got reserve
power. There's the whole thing that we did.
I guess we could say, like, they expected, because they don't know why this is going on, right? Yeah. So the systems aren't behaving properly. So they're like, shut it down! They thought they would shut it all down.
Yeah.
However, they have bypassed that, and they're on that reserve power, and Yul Brynner wants to fucking kill Pete. Yeah. Yul Brenner's like, you're kicking, I'm killing, I'm fucking kill you.
Killed me twice, I gotta get one in.
And so we're...
And he does.
I'll play the clip at right after that, but... the boys woke up hungover and are sauntering through the streets. Yul Brynner shows up and fucking caps John in the street dead.
Exactly the way you'd expect Yul Brynner to do it.
At the 1 hour mark. At the 1 hour mark, John or Obi-Wan dies.
Yeah.
And he is done. And then Pete is like, fuck this. He gets out of town. And I want to play the clip for you real quick.
By the way, Pete doesn't ever try to shoot Yul Brynner at this point. He shot him twice at this point. He's 2 for 2. He's batting 1,000. And he does not try to shoot Yul Brynner anymore at this point.
That point is taken, but I would say that, like, he has just realized that his friend died for real.
I have a gun still in my pocket.
Yeah, but he is shitting his pants. Like, he is in a completely different mindset in this moment than he was.
All of his learning moments were, don't take this seriously, don't take this seriously, this isn't happening. And this is breaching that, where it's like, holy shit, he is dead. He doesn't know what, he's like,
so, I've been shot.
Yeah.
I've been shot.
So, here we go. After he's been shot, Pete takes off. They lose control. This is the penultimate scene to just propel us into the last piece here. It's all gone wrong.
They're running on stored charge out there.
How long can they go?
Doctor, scientist.
Some will begin to run down in an hour. Others can go a full 12.
We're seeing Roman world.
We're finally seeing Roman world, and people are being murdered. The slaves are overrunning.
There's a lot of stabbing and slashing. Oh, there's a bug. We saw a bug. A couple bugs.
Turn the grid back on.
The relays must be frozen. We can't get back our power.
Hello. Hello, hello!
So all of those Roman bots were on reserve power.
Well, I'd say, I think bots in general have reserve power.
No, they do, but where do they all go?
Do you mean, like afterwards? That was a question I had, that Peter shows up in Roman world... And nobody's I guess gone. All the slaves have moved on to...
They had something else that
is. Yeah, yeah.
I'm fascinated now with whatever that was, which season 2 of HBO Westworld actually is going to show us.
Yeah, as they...
I have to say, they very faithfully jumped right into that.
Looking forward to it.
Anyway, so we get into the last turn of the movie here, which is... This is an hour in, and it's an hour and a half movie. Mm-hmm. Yul Brynner begins hunting Pete. And it takes a half an hour to resolve this. They cut all the power. Pete makes it to Roman world, and it's fun to see, you know, the Connecticut Yankee in the Roman court.
Yeah.
He finds a manhole cover and goes underground.
Yeah, and I do have a little, like, that was a moment for me where it's like, he walked right up to that manhole cover, like he knew, he had a little blueprint of the whole place, was like, this is entrance to the... There was no film or artistic expression of him discovering this. Yeah. This man...
He didn't know his way around Westworld. Why would he know his way around Roman world?
Yeah. He found Roman world, first of all, very, very specifically. And
he's pretty casual about it.
Like, walked right up to the access point. So, yeah.
Was there a now entering Roman world sign? There was a hey,
there
guess.
Was.
This is you are leaving Westworld.
You're leaving. Don't go any further in every language down there.
Yeah. And then for some reason, the river has Roman marble markers.
Yeah, like broken and fallen. Like that's where the maintenance people stop.
Yes.
Yeah.
They just had some extras on the back of the truck, and they were like, just put them by the river. Yeah, it'll be fun. So Pete is still escaping, and he sees Yul Brynner walking into Roman World on one of the cameras. So what does he do? He hides among the mechanical bodies. He hides on one of the tables, but he also grabs hydrochloric acid.
Well, and there is some explanation for that.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, he runs into a technician in the desert.
There is that.
Yes, that's a critical piece to explain.
That's a great scene, too. Yeah, yeah. He's trying to... the technician has sprung a flat in the desert, and he's fixing his golf cart, just putting on a spare tire, which you would have with your golf cart.
Here we go.
Right, now sees a golf cart. Yeah. First golf cart.
Hey!
Technician is terrified. He thinks this is another robot.
Hey, wait a minute.
This is Hans Gruber at the end of Die Hard.
Yeah.
Don't shoot!
What's the matter with you?
Show me your head.
Hold out your hands.
He's replacing a tire. We got a tire flush.
You're one of them!
Oh.
Show me your hands.
You're a guest.
You're a guest.
You really gave me a scare.
Look, everything's broken down. The machines are gone crazy.
You know about the machines?
Yeah.
Repair
them. There's one chasing me now, a gunslinger.
What is he doing to the back of the car?
Oh, he's already put on the thing. He just needs to tighten up the lug.
Oh, no, that was a lift there.
It's a beautiful machine.
That part is consistent.
Why? It's a golf cart.
Now he's bringing down
Yul Brynner.
He doesn't need a jack to lift it up. It's not that heavy.
There must be something.
Fella, don't kid yourself. There are things you could try. Acid for his visual system.
Acid for his
visual systems.
No matter what you did, he'll always be one jump ahead of you. You haven't got a chance.
Well, you're an asshole.
Yeah. So what are you going to do?
Why doesn't he go, hop on the cot, we can make it to the escape pod.
Well, no, this is the part that I don't get.
He rides
off. There are obvious tracks. This golf cart came from somewhere.
Yeah.
Rather than follow the tracks of the golf cart to wherever it came from, he rides off into the mountains.
Well, the guy did just get shot. We heard that.
Yes.
And he's going. We don't know if he's scared or trying to hatch a plan or something, but he goes down. He does.
Why is Yul Brynner's gun able to kill people now?
I don't know, actually. I just went along with it.
It's the digital disease that they spoke of earlier.
It infected the gun, too,
yeah.
I would assume.
The gun.
And my favorite thing about
the gun...
The gun
has a battery signal.
That was my favorite! It says low battery! It's got...
guys,
a revolver
with
that
bullets.
Reloads.
There's nothing... There's no component
That's
for that.
That's a high current device, sir.
It's not... It does not require a battery. It charges...
They hadn't invented lithium ion by this point.
It throws... What is the battery doing to a revolver? Sorry, it bugged me.
It is revealed that the robots individually have between 1 and 12 hours of external life.
Somewhere between those two.
I think a good summary statement, just to bring up at this point, is that the whole first half of this thing is us talking about the philosophical wonderfulness of the whole second half is us complaining about all the plot holes.
Yes.
In the conclusion of the horror aspect of this.
In the first part, they kept introducing different ideas and things to us, and the second, when they tried to pay it off, it turned into a long chase.
Right.
And that invited criticism.
Yeah.
Because we're like, could you just get him already? You're a Terminator, basically.
Right.
And he's going after. Okay, so...
And at one point, he shoots the hat.
It was pretty good.
Off of him on
Yul Brynner shoots the hat off of Pete at,
So he's just showing off.
Mm-hmm.
And the machine could have ended this right here and there.
I think he was trying to kill him, though.
You mean he missed in a theatrical way?
Yeah. No, I think he was trying to kill him with that.
And just shot his hat off.
And just shot the hat off.
I don't think he should miss.
Well, no, he shouldn't, but
should
there's
be more
a lot
sophisticated
of
killer, Yul Brynner.
There's a lot of variables in firing a rifle off a horse.
Yeah.
All right, so Peter gets to back to medieval world. He's never been there before.
No, this
is all new. One of the great little details, he crosses through the throne room and finds the Dark Knight sitting with the Queen on the throne.
Yes.
The Dark Knight has assumed a leadership position over Malort.
And their batteries have now died.
Their batteries have died and they are fucking frozen.
Immobile.
And Yul Brynner...
Inanimate.
Yeah. Yul Brynner cannot. Have we passed the acid scene? We did, didn't we?
We've passed the acid scene.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't even talk about it. I was trying to get to the fucking.
He's posing as a corpse.
Sorry, he's posing as a corpse. He has the hydrochloric acid. Yul Brynner goes by. Fucking acid in the face!
Acid in the face.
Like a little schoolgirl trying to go to class trying and the Taliban was there, or like a scorned lover in the UK or something. It's just acid right in the eyes!
I think what, like, maybe the third really memorable thing of this movie is right in this scene. Right after this scene, where he gives him the whole speech about, like, the acid and everything, and he's like, there's nothing you can do. And he says, really confidently, for some reason, this man is running away because he's been disarmed by this robot. He says, oh, yes, there is. So he has suddenly gained some amazing amount of confidence, and that pays off later after leaving Westworld.
We have the sign up that he rides past. So we've got English, Chinese there, Russian, French, and what's that
Mexican.
One? Sie verlassen. Is that German? What?
No. Sie verlassen jetzt Westworld.
Yeah, okay.
German.
So
you're leaving Westworld.
He is leaving Westworld. Okay, so he's got the acid. He's in the throne room. Mm-hmm. The visual unit is damaged, and Yul Brynner cannot distinguish Pete from the torches or something.
That's right. He's using heat vision now.
He's malfunctioning.
We're back to Predator.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's a heat vision based thing.
It's a clever fucking scene, too. Yeah. Because it's hiding between just two torches as opposed to being caked in mess.
And this is well before Predator as well. Oh, yeah. This is well before. And there is a scene, I have to just call it out because we skip past it. He has footprint track infrared technology. Yeah. He can look at a floor and see where somebody just stepped.
That's how he follows them into the sewer.
That's pretty good. I have to say, for this function, it's like, it's kind of terrifying. You can see where you go. Also, the machine's super flammable. Pete taps him with a torch, and he just lights like he's doused in kerosene. He lights, he's flying around, and he goes up like
because he's wearing
polyester.
Polyester.
The poly blend. He goes.
This is the 70s.
Well, he goes up like a Christmas tree bonfire at Ocean Beach. He's just.
And by the way, for a robot, he is reacting a lot. I understand the stunt man might be freaking out, like, this is the first time I've ever been set on fire.
Okay.
This robot is reacting a lot.
The stunt man, don't get a lot of screen time. Okay. I'm just gonna...
The movie is at about...
Get a little bit of...
An hour and 12 minutes at this point that we're talking about. It really should have just stopped maybe here. Because all we get after this is... The Daphne scene where he frees Daphne? That was Daphne chained up, right?
No.
Who was that chained up?
I think that's a new character.
It was a random robot.
Random woman robot. Yes.
That's not Daphne. I would recognize Daphne.
I'm not so sure. I'm
1,000% positive.
You have to
prove
me wrong.
Character.
You guys failed to prove me wrong earlier in this podcast with a note. So go ahead for Daphne. We're not going to do it now. But
you actually have the video in front of us. So prove us correct.
I'm going to have to go to two different Daphne spots that I don't know.
Believe
where they
me, are. I was very attentive to Daphne.
Daphne was awesome. She was there, Angela Safarian.
Daphne's
clear. I'm not doing... Fuck this. Listen, it doesn't matter. He finds robot chained in the dungeon.
Robot chained.
And we think Yul Brynner's gone. We think Yul Brynner's gone.
Well, we think all the robots are gone. Like, gone. I mean, the assumption at this point is that...
The world
is
hollow.
The robots have all...
Seized
like,
up. They're out of batteries.
Yeah. And so here's one...
And the way we find out is he gives her water.
He gives her water.
And she says no.
She's like, no. Because... This knows.
She did not consent to water.
She did not consent to water.
Yeah. It's rape. These robots have been drinking whiskey all night.
This is rape water.
Yeah. She's being fed rape water. And whatever,
rape water.
Mead.
Yeah,
rape but,
water.
But water.
Rape water.
That's it. Rape no.
Water. She gets the rape water, and what happens? Smoke comes out of her eyes.
Yeah. And that's on him.
Yeah.
She clearly
she said,
she
I
clearly,
don't want the water.
She clearly said no.
And he had, and again, we are playing with the last vestiges of his humanity.
Yeah.
Where he's like, let me save you. And he doesn't have the context now to say, oh, that's a robot.
Yeah.
He doesn't know anymore.
Yeah.
That was good. That was good to tie it to that. However, Pete starts to walk away. He's like, oh, man, I just killed somebody because he fried the robot. He starts to walk away. Yul Brynner, who has been charred to a crisp.
This is a great jump scene, by the way. It's just
a jump
still
scare.
Cut,
there's
still
a jump
cut,
scare
still
here.
Cut, still cut.
Yeah.
It's Yul Brynner is completely engulfed in just ash at
ash.
This point.
He's or, all, he, he's all
he,
ashy.
He looks like a barbecue brisket.
Yeah, he's black and powdery, and just he's still there. But it's not going to happen. He falls off a ledge.
Falls off a ledge.
And tries to struggle.
And
there's no
face. Falls off.
There's no face. He can't stop. But what happens after he's been burnt to a crisp? He catches fire again?
I think he just just
died. Oh, no. The electronics
just
give way.
That wasn't affected by an inferno. But the last pieces of his fire.
That makes sense to me.
We
didn't understand technology.
It's all over the road. Anyway, he catches fire again, and Pete just sort of sits down, and then the credits start.
Yeah.
And it's a hoedown.
That's
it. So this movie really, from the hour mark...
Movies in the 70s really, didn't have endings. They just ended.
It just
and those weren't bad.
To a stop.
I like to imagine Michael Crichton, you know, just... completely laying out the roadmap for this movie and just departing from... Like, I'm pretty sure the studio...
MGM.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Took over the second half of this movie, like, halfway during...
Yeah.
I want to assume that, but didn't Crichton say he was bored with the
cut? He cut a bunch of
this
down. Like,
he
thought this was too long
right.
for himself.
So I didn't know about that.
No. He has a cut that was much shorter than the original version of this. There's an original version. There's the first cut. There may be three or four more cuts. The final cut.
Oh, this is the final cut.
This is the only cut. The only cut that made publication. What we're seeing is MGM's version of we need to make this under 90 minutes. Because this is 1973. We didn't have fucking 2.5 hour movies. We didn't have a 3 hour fucking...
Spartacus was...
I was up there. Yeah, there's long ass movies back in the
with overtures. They were musicals, all that good stuff. We're trying to get away from all that at this point in 1973.
Lawrence of Arabia.
Yeah, Lawrence of Arabia was
Dr. Zhivago.
Was 60.
I mean,
which is not my point, guys.
No, this is the history.
I will end this show.
No, I didn't. Sorry, I feel bad. I shit on his final point. I'm sorry.
Lincoln Kai show.
Sorry.
Damn it. I'm sorry. Okay, you know what we're going to do? You know what we're going to do? Okay, so here is Pete on the stairs dying, and here he is. He's just sitting down, and the movie is like, really, just feel it, like, RPMs are slowing down. We're like coasting to a stop.
Boy,
he's closing
I had
his
sleepy.
Eyes. Wait a minute.
World, Roman world, and West world. Contact us today or see your travel agent. Boy, have we got a vacation for you. Vacation
he's not
for
so is this all just
you,
a marketing
you,
thing
you,
for the view,
you,
future
you,
Delos?
This is the ad. You have to watch this ad before you're ready to go. Are you ready to be the hero? Ready? And... Yeah! All right, everybody. This has been Kush and Kai. Thank you for joining us. Hakey, God damn it! Thank you for making the trip out to downtown Oakland. We appreciate it.
Oh, no, thank you.
Please come on. Please come back soon. We appreciate it. Check us out at cushionkai.com. Follow us on Twitter. Like us on Facebook. Read
Instagram.
Read Kush's awesome mini movie reviews and regular movie reviews. Fucking follow him, Kush, on Twitter as well.
Kushin Kai, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook.
It's
all the
good
stuff.
All right, Hakey, thank you so much for coming out.
Thank you.
I gotta say,
Stitcher,
would you recommend
Google
this
Play.
Movie?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, good time.
100%.
Kush, would you recommend
this
movie?
This is a great movie. Watch it before you watch regular Westworld.
Guys, I recommend this movie as well. You have to go see it. It's a triple up. Thank you for joining us. This has been Kush and Kai and today, Hakey.